السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to do آيات 102 to 108 of سورة المائدة today. We'll start off with the word meanings إن شاء الله, beginning with ayah number 102. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد, in fact, سألها, سأل, asked, ها, it, قومون, a nation, or people, من, from, قبليكم, قبلي, before, كم, all of you, ثم, then, أصبحوا, they became. The vowel if in the end of this verb tells us that this word is plural. So أصبحوا, they became, بها, be, with, ها, it, كافرين, ones who disbelieve. كفر is the root word, and that means disbelief. كافر is a disbeliever, and إنا ending just makes this word plural. So كافرين, ones who disbelieve or hide the truth. ما, not, جعل, he made, الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word جعل is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer. So جعل applies to Allah. And we know that because the word Allah ends with a dhamma on the ha at the end. So ما, not, جعل الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, من, from, بحيرة, بحيرة was a split-eared she-camel, و, and, لا, nor, سايبة, a سايبة, meaning a she-camel that was set free, و, and, لا, nor, وسيلة, وسيلة was a title given to the she-camel who consecutively gave birth to females. Okay? Wa and la nor hamin. Hamin was a camel that had 10 offspring. Walakinna, wa and lakin, by alladhina, those who كفروا, they disbelieved. يفترون, they fabricate. افترى is the root word فترى, and that means to come up with something, to invent something. يا in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and أنا ending makes this word plural. So يفترون, they fabricate. على, upon, or against, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-kadhib, the lie. Wa and aktharuhum, akthar, most, hum, them. La, na, yaqilun, they understand. Aql, ayn, qaf, lam is the root word, and that means to have intellect. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So لا يعقلون, not, they understand. و, and إذا, when, قيل, it was said, لهم, لا, to, whom, them, تعالوا, you all come. The wawalif at the end of this verb tells us that a lot of people are being addressed in this command. So ta means you in the beginning, and vowel alif in the end means this is plural. So ta'alo, you all come. Ila, to, ma, what, anzala, sent down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Anzal Allahu put together tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer. He is the one doing something because the word Allah ends with a dhamma on the ha again. So Anzal Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed wa and ila to ar-rasul. Al means the, ar-rasul means messenger, the messenger. Qalu, they said. No, this is plural. It's the same word as qila that we covered above, but qila was in the passive form. This is qalu, they said. This is plural. Hasbuna, hasbu, sufficient, or enough. Na, for us. Ma, whatever. Wajadina, wajada means to find. Wajada, found. Na, we. Alayhi, alayhi, upon, he, it, aba'ana, aba'a, forefathers, na, ours. Avalo, even if, or a, in the beginning, that prefix is used to ask a question. So, a, what, wa, and, lo, even if, kana, were, aba'uhum, their forefathers, Aba'u means forefathers, and hum at the end is the pronoun, and that refers to them, so it means theirs. So, aba'uhum, their forefathers, la, not, ya'lamuna, they know. Ilm is the root word, ayn, lam, mim, and that means to know, to have knowledge. Ya, in the beginning, tells us that this word is in the third person, and una at the end makes this word plural. So la ya'lamuna, they do not know. Shay'an, anything. Wa and la. Nor yahtadun, they receive guidance. Huda is the root word here. And ihtada means to be guided. Ya in the beginning means that this word is in the third person. And una at the end means this is plural. So it means they. Okay, so yahtadun, they obtain guidance. Ya ayyuha, oh, alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. This word comes from iman, which means to have faith, to believe. So amanu, who believed, and this is plural, it ends in vowel if, so we know that this verb is plural. So ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who have believed, alaykum, alay, upon, kum, all of you, anfusakum. Anfus is plural for the word nafs, which means soul. So anfusa, souls, kum, yours. So anfusakum put together would be yourselves. La, does not, yadurukum. Yadurru, he harms kum, all of you, man, whoever, dolla, strayed. Now this comes from the same word that we've covered before, dolalan. Remember, dolalan, that word meant straying, right? To go astray. So dolla is a form of that word, and it's in the third person. Okay, so man, whoever, dolla, he strayed. Ida, when ihtadaytum, ihtaday, obtained guidance. It comes from huda, which means guidance. So ihtaday, obtained guidance, tum, all of you. Ila, to, only to, because it comes before the word Allah. So ilallahi, only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, marji'ukum. Raja'a is the root word, ra-ji-m-ayn, and that means return. Marji'u, returning, kum, yours, jami'an, all together. Fa-yunabbi'ukum, fa, then, yunabbi'u comes from the word naba, which means special news, okay? Important news. So, yunabbi'u, you in the beginning, means this word is in the third person, and it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fayunabbi'u, then he will clearly explain kum, to all of you, bima, be with, ma, whatever, kuntum, كن were تم all of you تعملون you all did or you all do. عين ميم لام عمل is the root word and that means to do something. تا in the beginning means you and أونا in the end makes this word plural. So بما كنتم تعملون with whatever you all used to do. يا أيها أو الذين those who آمنوا they believed شهادتو شهادة means testimony. Okay, شهادتو take witness or testimony بيني between كم all of you إذا when حضر it appeared or approached came to أحدكم أحد one أحد means one right كم all of you so أحدكم one of you الموت the death حين when or at time الوصية ال means the وصية means will إثناني two ذَوَا that we've learned the word ذو عدلين right the possessor of justice the one with justice this is ذَوَا عدلين as we learned already in Arabic we don't just get the singular and plural tense we get the dual tense as well okay so there's singular dual that refers to two people and then there's also plural so ithnani means two people okay two possessors two people with adlin justice so two just people okay so anytime we see the ani or any ending it refers to two so ithnani two dhawa it's not just dhu it's dhawa Right? When we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say Dhul Fadl, the one with all the bounty. Right? This is Dhawa, two possessors of Adl, justice. Minkum, min, from, kum, all of you. Aw, or, Akharani, Ukhra means other, right? Akhar means other. And Ani, in the end, makes this word mean two. Okay, it's in the dual form. So akharani, two others. Okay, just like the end of the wa, just by adding an extra waw, an extra alif, fatha at the end, made that word mean two. Same thing here. Ani ending means two. So aw or akharani, two others, min from ghayri, other than kum. All of you. Now this is plural. Kum. Okay, all of you. In, if, antum. You all. This is plural too. Darabatum. Daraba means to hit or strike. But when someone walks on the ground, when someone travels, that's referred to as daraba as well. Okay, that's often, the word daraba is used for that often. So ضرب struck or traveled تم all of you في in الأرض the earth so when people strike the earth they're traveling on it فأصابتكم ف is the prefix it means then أصابت reached كم all of you مصيبة a calamity الموت of the death تحبسونها تحبسونا هما this is dual again so ha ba sin means to hold okay to detain that's the root word that in the beginning means you una before adding the pronoun huma at the end means this is plural da in the beginning and una means all of you okay so تحبسونا you all detain huma both of them min ba'di min from ba'di after as-salati the prayer fa yuqsimani fa so يقسمان. قاف سين ميم is the root word, and that means an oath, to swear, قسم. Ya in the beginning means this is in the third person, and ani ending means it's talking about two people. So فَيُقْسِمَانِ, so they both swear, بِاللَّهِ, by اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in if irtabitum, you all doubted. Rayb is the root word, and that means to doubt. Irtab, doubted. Tum, all of you. La, na, nashtari. Ishtara means to barter, to exchange one thing for another. Noon in the beginning means we. So, la nashtari, we do not bargain. We do not barter or trade. Bihi, be with he, it, thamanan, a price or any price. Wa, while, lo, even if, kana, he was, the possessor of, or one of, qurba, near relationship. So the qurba means the near relative. Okay. Just like we learned the word dhava above, which referred to two. This is the qurba. The means one. Okay, and the possessor of qurba. Qurba means close relationship. So the near relative. Wa and la, nor, naktumu. Katama, kafta, mim, means to hide. Noon in the beginning means we. So naktumu, we will conceal or hide. Shahadata, testimony, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna, inna, indeed, and then noon alif, that pronoun in the end, means we. Indeed, we, idhan, then, la min, la, surely, min, from, al-athimin, those who are sinners. Al means the, and athim means the one who commits a sin. Ithm means sin. Athim means the sinner. Ina ending just makes this word plural. So al-athimin, those who are sinners. Fa then, in, if, uthira, it was known or made clear, ala, upon, anna huma, anna, that, or indeed, huma, they both, istahakka, they both became deserving. Haqq means to have the haqq of doing something, means to deserve something. Istahaqqa, the alif at the end makes this word dual. So they both became deserving. Ithman, of a sin. Fa'akharani, fa, then, akhar means other. And then ani makes this word mean two. Okay, puts it in the dual form. So فَأَخْرَانِ, then two others. يَقُومَانِ, يَقُوم means he stands, right? And ani ending makes this word dual. So you يَقُومَانِ, they both stand. مَقَامَهُمَا, مَقَام means the place of standing. Okay, so مَقَام, place, huma, of both of them. Min, from, alladhina, those who, istahakka, he proved or he became deserving, alayhim, alay, against, him, them, al, the, awlayani. Awla means the close or near one. Okay, and yani at the end means dual, that this word refers to two people. So al-awlayani, the two nearest ones or the closest ones. Fa yuqsimani, fa, so yuqsimani, qasam is the root word, and that means to swear. Ya means this is in the third person, and ani ending makes this word mean the dual. Okay, so fayuqasimani, so they both swear, billahi, by Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La shahadatuna. La surely. Shahadatu. Testimony. Na ours. Ahaku is truer. Haq means truth. Aleph in the beginning makes this word just adds more emphasis to whatever is being said. Okay, it gives it more depth. So ahaku is truer. Min then shahadati hima. Shahadati testimony hima of both of them. Wa and ma not i'tadayna. We have transgressed. I'tada means to transgress, and na at the end means we. Inna. Inna indeed. And then nun alif in the end means we. Ithan then la surely min from al-zalimin, those who do wrong. Zulm is the root word and that means injustice. Zalim is somebody who is unjust and ina ending makes that word plural. So al-zalimin, those who are unjust. Thalika, that adina is nearest or closest. An that yet to they come. Yeah, in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and waw alif in the end of this verb means this is plural. So yet to they come be with al the shahadati testimony. But in English, instead of saying they come with the testimony, it makes more sense to say they bring testimony. Okay, yet to be they bring a shahadati, testimony. Ala upon wajihiha, wajihi, face, ha, its, aw, or yakhafu, they fear. Khawf is the root word and that means fear. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person and waw alif in the end makes it plural. So yakhafu, they fear, an that turadda, it is returned. It is turned back. Rad means to return. Turadda, it is turned back. Aymanun, oaths. Ba'da, after. Aymanihim. Ayman, oaths. Him, theirs. Wattakullah. Wa and. Ittaku, have taqwa. All of you, safeguard yourselves. Adopt taqwa. Be conscious of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasma'u. Wa and. Isma'u. You all listen. Sama'a means to hear. And isma'u is a command and it means all of you listen. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la, does not. Yahdi, he guide. Huda is the root word. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So yahdi, he guides. Al-qawm, the people or nation. Al-fasiqeen, those who sin or cross the limits. Fisq is the root word. Fasin qaf, and that means disobedience. Fasiq means somebody who disobeys and crosses the limits. So al-fasiqin, those who sin and disobey, those who cross the limits. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So ayah number 101 that we learned last time, from that ayah we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us not to ask too many questions. Okay, if he has not given clear orders about something being halal or haram, it's best not to ask about it. Because if he doesn't say that something is halal or haram, then we can choose to do what we want. It would be fine to do something or to avoid it. And next, ayah number 102, that's connected to what he told us in ayah number 101. قَدْ سَأَلَهَا قَوْمٌ مِّن قَبْلِكُمْ. In fact, some people before you asked such questions. Now, this ayah is about the Bani Israel. Okay, the people of Yaqub alayhi salam, the descendants of Yaqub alayhi salam. And they were the chosen ummah before. They were the Muslim ummah of their times. They used to ask so many questions. and that made life difficult for them. We're told not to do the same thing that they did. The Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam learned from the mistakes of the Bani Israel, and they didn't do things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to avoid. They were very careful about those things. But the Muslim Ummah now asks so many questions about things that we shouldn't even be questioning about. After reading the previous ayah and learning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left so many things open for us, from which we can choose to do what we want. Okay, with those things, we can either choose to do them or avoid doing them without being sinful. Okay, He has left many things open like that for us. Okay, we should take that as a blessing. We should keep that in mind and not ask questions about things as if there's just two categories that they can be placed under, either halal or haram, because that's not what happens in Islam. Whenever we come across something that is not mentioned in the Quran or the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it isn't mentioned as being halal or haram, we must know that there are no strict guidelines about it. So we shouldn't complicate things for ourselves by asking so many questions about those things. And we shouldn't ask for specific instructions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given them. So the Bani Israel asked many questions. ثُمَّ أَصْبَحُوا بِهَا كَافِرِينَ. Then they lost their faith because of those very things. Now, how did they lose their faith? As a result of asking so many questions. They asked way too many questions. And they got the answers to those questions too. They were restricted from doing a lot of things in that process. And when there were too many restrictions in place, they felt like they were not allowed to do so many things. So they thought it was just impossible to follow those rules, and they left their religion. They weren't able to abide by the rules anymore. Astaghfirullah. So we're taught to leave alone the matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left for us. Not everything in Islam is categorized as solely halal or haram. There are so many things that belong to the gray area category. We should not say anything about those matters, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't said anything. If we were to ask if something is halal or haram when it comes to everything, the box of halal things becomes very small. It becomes very limited. Many more things would fall into the haram category then, the forbidden category. And then life would become really restricted. And most people are not able to follow those rules. So we shouldn't try to fit everything under one of those two categories only. Okay, so just keep in mind, not everything is just halal or haram. Try to avoid the things that are in the gray area. But don't say anything if it hasn't been mentioned as haram specifically. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us not to follow the Bani Israel when it comes to this, because they asked silly questions about things that weren't even important. Things that were related to the orders and beliefs and the basic belief, but they were not important things. And that led to so many restrictions. And that made it harder for them to follow. We should learn from their example. Okay, we should be careful not to do the same. Now, next we'll learn about a tradition they followed, people of the past, for which they used to leave some animals in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or their idols. They used to dedicate them in the name of Allah or their idols. So they didn't use those animals to do any work or for any benefit. There's a difference of opinion about details relating to the animals that are listed here. But each animal is described in a different way in different tafasir. Okay? So there is differences, but we don't need to know them all. As long as we understand the basics and we know that they were the animals that were left alone, they were dedicated for the idols. Now, we'll go over what the Bukhari tafsir explains now about these animals, how Bukhari explains them. Bahira was the animal whose milk they dedicated to the idols only. So they didn't use the milk from those animals, from the ones they titled as Bahira. Some say that it was because after the camel had five babies, they left the sixth that was male in the name of their idol. Okay, that was Bahira. Saiba was the animal they dedicated in the name of their false idols. They wouldn't ride that animal or use it to carry any loads, like anything heavy. Sometimes they did that just to fulfill a vow they had made earlier, that they would dedicate their animal to their idols if their wish came true, whatever they were asking for. Vasila was the camel that gave birth to two female camels in a row without any male in between. They used to dedicate that camel to their idols also, kind of like as an honor to that camel for giving birth to she camels consecutively. And this was because she camels are considered more valuable than males because they give milk and they give birth to more camels later on too in life. Ham was the male camel from which many baby camels were born. Like if a camel had 10 offspring, they would let it go free in the name of the idol because it had benefited them so much. So they thought dedicating it in the name of their idol was the right thing to do. And once they did that, they wouldn't use it for service at all. Okay, they wouldn't use it to serve anybody. And they wouldn't put any load on it. Those animals just roamed around freely. Nobody bothered them in any way. They just left them alone. Even now, at times, people leave animals or people somewhere and they say, oh, they're dedicated to their idols. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw Amr bin Amir Khudai dragging his intestines in the hellfire. He was the first to come up with this tradition of dedicating animals like the Bahira, the Saiba, and all these animals that we just learned about in the name of idols. So that's a condition he is in. And some say that he was the first to start worshipping idols. And even the people of Jahannam will suffer because of the smell of his body being burnt there. Because of that horrible smell. That's how badly he is going to be punished. So not only did he worship idols, he was the first to do it. And he came up with that idea for so many others to follow. And that's even worse. So that person who comes up with the idea of a sin gets the sin, gets their share of the sin of everyone else who follows him as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِن بَهِيرَةٍ وَلَا سَائِبَةٍ وَلَا وَسِيلَةٍ وَلَا حَامٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the Bahira, the Saiba, the Wasila, and the Ham. But it was people who came up with those names themselves for those animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not introduce that concept to them of setting animals free, dedicating them in the name of idols. Allah did not institute superstitions like those of letting loose certain animals for free pasture. ولكن الذين كفروا يفترون على الله الكذب. But this lie was invented by the disbelievers against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fabricated that lie against Allah, saying that He has ordered them to do this. They said it was a part of religion. And whenever people claim that something is a part of deen, when it's actually not, they're committing a grave sin. They're fabricating a lie against Allah. People do not have the right to say if something is a part of religion or not, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to give those orders. So they fabricated lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they made the halal things haram, because they didn't use those particular animals that they let go in the names of idols for any sort of work. And they acted like it would be wrong to benefit from them in any way. That was a great injustice they committed when they claimed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from doing things that people claim are a part of religion when they're actually not. They fabricate lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they say such things, and we should never follow them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell us about something in the Quran or Hadith, we cannot claim that we're obeying Allah by doing it. That would be inventing lies against Allah. Na'udhu billah. So whenever someone tells us to do something and says that, oh, it's a part of deen, it's a good deed, we should definitely check to see if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do it in the Quran, or if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do it in the Hadith. If not, there's no way that it's right. It means that people just made it up. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And most of them lack understanding. Most of them are not sensible. And that's why they fabricate lies against Allah. As for the others, they just blindly follow them without checking to see if whatever they're listening to is actually authentic or not. We see so many messages that people post on social media nowadays, or they just forward messages when they, in those messages, they come up with a reward that's mentioned for doing specific things or reading things a certain number of times. That, oh, do this a certain number of times and you'll get the reward of this. But it seems like people randomly just came up with those things. We don't learn about those specific things from the Quran and Hadith. So we're not supposed to be just doing it as soon as we get a message like that. We're not supposed to just follow. We can't say that it's a part of deen when it's not. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ. And when it is said to them, come to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and come to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qalu, they said, hasbuna ma wajadna alayhi aba'ana. Sufficient for us are the ways on which we found our forefathers. When they're called to the Quran to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, so they know what Allah has made halal and what He has made haram, they say that the ways of their forefathers are enough for them. Even though they're told to learn what things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually allowed or what He has forbidden, they say that they just want to follow the ways of their forefathers. Even today, when people are told to show us where they see something in the Quran or Hadith, they say that they're not bothered about that. They're comfortable doing whatever they're doing because it's enough for them that their forefathers did it. They want to continue doing whatever their forefathers did. When someone tells them to avoid something that goes against the Quran or the Sunnah, they say that they know better. They say that their whole family has always done things a certain way, so they're not going to go against them. they question the person advising them, asking if that person thinks he or she is so knowledgeable now, all of a sudden, coming up with these things. But they don't bother to check that that person might be trying to guide them according to the Quran or the Sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say that their forefathers were so religious, that they were such good people, and what they did is a part of religion for them now. Even though, if we honestly think about it, not many of us can claim that our forefathers were scholars or very knowledgeable about Islam. In fact, many people did not have in-depth knowledge of Islam back then. Some did not even know the Quran and Hadith very well. And even the scholars and those with in-depth understanding can make mistakes, right? So, it doesn't mean that their forefathers had to be right. Just because they did something does not make it right. Most people did not have that much knowledge to begin with. So we should not be set on doing things just because our forefathers did them. When it comes to things that we're not taught to do in Islam, we have to avoid. We should check to make sure whatever we do is according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When others tell us about things and they claim that it's a part of deen, we should ask for proof to determine if Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his noble companions actually did it. Seeing our elders carrying out family traditions does not mean that those things are a part of religion. And of course, we know that we must be respectful to our elders and we have to love them and honor them. But when it comes to religion, we follow the Quran and Hadith. Islam does not allow us to blindly follow anyone. Only the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were free of sin. They were innocent. Nobody else. They're the only ones we can follow out of everyone. And when it comes to deen, follow the Quran and the Hadith. We can't do things just because our elders did those things. And we can't take deen for granted and think that we're Muslims just because our parents were as well. Okay, we can't take it for granted like that. We need to seek knowledge of Islam instead of just thinking that deen is something our parents did. And I was just born to a Muslim family, so I'm Muslim. This is a reason why the youth have so many doubts about religion now. And they tend to be influenced by the media and other people when they hear things against Islam. Because they have no knowledge of their own religion. This is all because of blindly following their parents. Okay? That's all they know about Islam, whatever their parents do. They're not actually convinced that it's the right way. So if they were to seek knowledge of Islam, they would be certain that it's the only way to succeed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about people of the past that they knew nothing about religion. They blindly followed their parents. They thought it was enough to follow their forefathers. And this happens now too. There are times we meet people who say that their parents or grandparents were Muslim, but they're not. Okay? And it's sad to hear someone say that, oh, my grandpa used to be Muslim. So they might have a Muslim last name, but they're not Muslim themselves. And the reason why religion doesn't continue among the offspring is because they never learned it. They were never taught religion. They never studied it. So it was lost from them. If they had learned about it in depth and had been convinced that it was the truth, they would have never strayed from the right path. They would not have been too weak to continue on the right path. They would have had the strength that Iman gives people. So we need to understand this and seek knowledge of Islam. That's how we can strengthen our faith and stay on track. We can't just think of religion as something we inherit from our parents. We must value its knowledge, consider it honorable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people in the past did what they did because they blindly followed their forefathers. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Even though their forefathers knew nothing and they were not rightly guided. He asks them this question. He asks us, will you continue following the ways of your forefathers even if they were not rightly guided? Of course, we follow our forefathers when it comes to good things, and we're supposed to. But if they did something that goes against the Quran and Hadith, we are not allowed to follow them because they may not have known. They simply didn't know. Maybe they never had the chance to learn the Quran and understand it. Maybe they never had the chance to seek knowledge of the Hadith. But you do. So why would you continue to do things against Islam that they did unknowingly? They weren't aware that they were doing something wrong. But once you have learned that something is wrong, we're not allowed to do it just because our forefathers did it. So this is such a powerful statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes here. And none of us can argue against it. Okay, after this, none of us can say that we would continue following the ways of our forefathers exactly as we've seen them. If it's against the Quran or Hadith, we cannot follow them. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, alaykum anfusakum, you are accountable for none but for yourselves. We are only responsible for ourselves, for our own actions. La yadurukum man dalla idha ihtadaytum. Anyone who has gone astray cannot harm you if you're on the right path. If you have obtained guidance and you're on the right path and do what you're supposed to do, which is to enjoin good and forbid evil. If someone still doesn't listen to you, if you tell them to do good and stay away from the bad things, if they don't listen, you're not responsible for them. You are only accountable for what you do, not for other people's actions. Now, this ayah was misunderstood in the past, and it still is. Because the Sahaba were a little confused about this too, when they first learned this ayah. Because what happens is that a lot of people think that after they have accepted Islam and they do good deeds, they're fine. Okay, as if they're not responsible for doing anything else. They're only responsible for their own actions. That's what a lot of people believe. As if they are not going to be held responsible for conveying the message to others. Okay, or that they don't need to tell others to stay away from bad deeds or enjoin others to do good. They think that it's good to mind your own business. Okay, that's the approach most people have in life. Just mind your own business and be good yourself, and you're only going to be questioned about what you do. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran that you're only responsible for yourselves. Right? That's what it seems like from this ayah. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that this is not what this ayah means. Okay? He explained that we have to tell others. We are responsible for telling others. And then, if someone still goes astray, then we won't be held accountable. But only then, after we have done our part, after we try to convey the message to them, we try to educate them about the truth, about doing things the right way. Once we have done that and told people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question us about others who didn't listen. Then they won't harm us in any way, as long as we keep reminding them to do the right thing. We shouldn't care about what the majority of people are doing. As we already learned, something wrong does not become acceptable just because everyone seems to be doing it. And on the other hand, if everyone else is on the right path, we cannot get to Jannah because of their good deeds. We have to be on the right path and work for that ourselves if we want to get to Jannah. So we must focus on staying on the right path and then try to guide others. Once we have tried to tell others to do the right thing, then if they don't do it, we won't be held accountable. For example, for a woman, if her husband or kids don't listen and do the right thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do, but she tells them the right thing, she tells them to do what's good, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, and she does it herself, she's not going to be questioned about their actions as long as she tried to remind them. So all you need to do is to keep reminding people. And we can't force anyone, but don't give up on people. Keep reminding them to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, keep enjoining good and forbidding evil until you see a time when people become stingy, when people follow their desires. They prefer the goods of this world, the benefit of this world. And it becomes common for people to be proud of their opinion. At that point, just focus on reforming yourself. Then let others be. Remember, the times when you have to be patient are approaching. This means that people will become stingy and they'll do whatever they please and they will want to acquire more and more of this worldly life, more and more material gains. And everyone will think that they're right, as if they don't need to ask anyone anything, as if they know best. At that point, there's no point in trying to advise people. So when asked about this, Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu said, that time has not come yet. People listen to you now, but there will be a time when anyone who enjoins good will be mistreated. They'll be treated in an unjust way and people will not listen to them. That's when people should just focus on staying on the right path themselves. إِلَلَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your return altogether. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then he will let you know the truth of all that you did. He'll inform everyone what they did. So there's no need to worry about people who don't listen and follow the right path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question them about whatever they did. The next three ayat now that we're going to cover, they were revealed about the same topic, about one topic that we're going to cover. Let's go over the background so we can understand it better, inshallah. There was a time when people were traveling to Syria to trade. One man named Budail was Muslim and two of the men were Christian. Their names were Tamim and Adi. Tamim Ad-Dari was one of those Christian men, but he accepted Islam afterwards. But at the time of this event, he was not Muslim, he was Christian. So when the three men reached Syria, Budail got very ill. He made a list of all the goods that belonged to him and he put that list in his belongings. But he didn't tell his two companions about the list. So when he got seriously ill and he thought that he is going to die, he did wasiya, meaning he made a will before his two companions that they should deliver everything to his heirs, all his belongings. The two men did do that. They delivered all his belongings to his family except for a really valuable silver bowl that was polished with gold, or it had gold inlay work on it. They took that out of his belongings and they kept that. When his family found the list of items with the belongings, they asked those two men if the deceased had sold something, because he had been very sick and maybe he was forced to make some sort of unusual expenses, that he was forced to sell something or give something away. And they said that they didn't know about anything like that. But the matter was taken to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that for judgment. The family of the deceased man did not have a witness, so the two Christian men who had listened to the dying man's wasiya were put under oath. The two men swore that they had not betrayed the trust or taken anything out of the belongings. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided in their favor, since they had sworn. Some time passed, and then Adi and Tamim sold that cup to a jeweler in Mecca. And when they were questioned about it, they said that, oh, they had bought it from the dying person. There were no witnesses around when they bought it, they said. So they didn't mention it earlier, so people wouldn't think that they were lying. That's the excuse they made. The family of the deceased turned to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam again and told him how the two men had sold it to a jeweler in Mecca, so they had the cup all along. Then the family of the deceased person swore that the cup belonged to their loved one who had passed away. And the two Christian men had lied when they swore that they didn't take anything out of his belongings. The two men had sold the cup for about 1,000 they had sold it for, so they had to give that amount to the family of the deceased who inherited the wealth. So we are instructed about what to do if someone is traveling and they're close to death, when they're approaching death, in case none of their family who inherits from them is around. Okay, if none of their heirs is around, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them what to do if they feel like they are about to die. So if there's close relatives or non-Muslims there, that person should bring those two people along with their belongings and give them their wasiya or will to deliver to their family. But like the case of Budail that we just went over, where the heirs found a list of items and realized that the cup was missing. If the heirs suspect that something is missing, they should tell them to take an oath. Okay, to swear that they're telling the truth, whoever conveys the message or delivers the will to them. They would do this in the masjid right after salah. They would stand, the people who bring the will would stand and swear that they're not lying and they're telling the truth. And they would say that they didn't deceive anyone in any way with the inheritance. If the heirs are content after that, and they believe the two men, it's fine. But if the heirs don't believe them and they have some sort of proof that they present, then they can argue that the two people are lying. Then two of the heirs of the deceased should stand and swear that they are telling the truth and that the others are lying. That nullifies the oath that the other two people who brought the will took. So their oath will be disregarded and the heir's word will be taken in that case. Okay. So now let's look at the ayah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O believers. Shahadatu bainikum. Testimony between you all. Idha hadara. أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ هِنَ الْوَصِيَّةِ When death approaches any one of you, and it's time to do wasiyah, or time to make your last will. For example, if someone gets into an accident, like a car accident, and she thinks that she's about to die, imagine that she takes off her jewelry. She has valuable jewelry that she's wearing. She takes it off and she hands it over to two people who are around, and she tells them to give that jewelry to her kids since she doesn't have much time left. إثنان ذبا عدل منكم. Let two just men from among yourselves act as witnesses, meaning from among the Muslims or from your people. Take two just people from them and give them your will. And those two people are called the wasis, people who take the will. So when someone's about to die and takes two people as his wasis, but if someone is alone in the hospital and there's like nurses around, nobody else, like nobody Muslim that they can find, then they don't have to go and start looking for two Muslims. Okay, they don't have to bother with that. They can take any two just people. Oh, أَخْرَانِ مِنْ غَيْرِكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or two others from other than you. That means those two people that you take as witnesses to give your will to, they can be non-Muslims too. So if we put in parentheses, شَهَادَةُ بَيْنِكُمْ and إِثْنَانِ ذَوَا عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ, it would mean to take as witnesses two just men, either Muslim or non-Muslim. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, if you're traveling through the land, you may be in a strange land, a new place, where none of your family members are around. فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ, then the calamity of death overtakes you. When that happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to call two witnesses of the Muslims or the non-Muslims. So we are told to take two wasis. But if the heirs suspect that something is missing from the belongings, they're told what to do after that. Okay, this is how we started off this ayah. تَحْبِسُونَهُمَا مِنْ بَعْدِ الصَّلَاةِ, detain them after prayer. So the two witnesses should be told to stay after Salah. Now, why specifically right after prayer? Because swearing right after Salah in the masjid would mean that people are closer to Allah, since they have just finished praying and they have more taqwa at that time. They're more mindful of Him and they wouldn't want to lie and swearing in a masjid since it's a holy place. That's why people are told to detain them in the masjid right after Salah. And of course, there are more people around too at that time, right after prayer. So the people swearing or taking an oath would be afraid of lying in front of so many others, just in case someone had seen them at that time and objects to whatever they're saying, or in case they say that that person is lying. So they would be afraid. فَيُقْسِمَانِ بِاللَّهِ, then let them both swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ ارْتَبْتُمْ, if you doubt their honesty, detain them after Salah in the masjid and make them swear. Now, what should they swear when they do that, when they take an oath? The next part. لَنْ نَشْتَرِي بِهِ ثَمَنًا, we will not sell our testimony for any price, meaning that we will not bargain our oath for anything, lawful or unlawful. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى, even to a relative, a close relative, even if a close relative has to suffer a loss. For example, if the dying person had said to tell his heirs to give a specific amount to someone, even if the wasi disagrees with whatever the deceased had said, he doesn't change it. Okay, he tells them the truth, even if their own relative is at a loss because of it. Like if someone has a sister or brother who would get less of a share as a result of them testifying, but they would still only say the truth. So the people swearing say that they wouldn't barter their testimony for anything, even if their close relative is affected as a result. ولا نكتم شهادة الله. And we will not hide the testimony which we'll be giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna idhan lamina al-athimin. For then we shall be sinners if we do so. So they are told to swear to all this, to say everything from la nashtari to athimin. So they would mean that they didn't change anything or do anything wrong, that they're only telling the truth, doing exactly as a dying person had told them to do. Now, why does it say shahadat Allah, the testimony of Allah? This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who assigned us the responsibility of testifying in this way. He made those people witnesses and instructed them to testify. And after that, if the heirs are satisfied, it ends there. Okay? But if they don't believe the two people, it's not resolved. And they can say that they have proof that there were more things the person handed over to them, like maybe credit cards or other valuable things, which are missing now. What would they do then? فَإِنْ أُثِرَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ مَسْتَحَقَّ إِثْمًا. Then if it becomes known that those two were guilty of the sin of perjury, if the two wasis are exposed as liars, as being sinful after the testimony, فَآخَرَانِ يَقُومَانِ مَقَامَهُمَا. Then let two others, better qualified witnesses than those two wasis, stand in place of them. So in place of the two who had given the testimony and lied, two of the heirs should stand in their place. Or two people who the heirs have brought to testify against the two liars. Those two should stand. مِنَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَحَقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَوْلِيَانِ. From among those who were deprived of their right, those who proved or became deserving against the two liars, meaning out of the heirs who had the right to get their share. Two of the heirs should stand in place of the wasis, and they would be the family or close relatives of the deceased person. فَيُقْسِمَانِ بِاللَّهِ. Then they both swear by Allah. They would come forward and testify upon oath by Allah. لَا شَهَادَ لَا ش... sorry. لَا شَهَادَتُنَا. Surely our testimony أَحَقُّ مِنْ شَهَادَتِهِمَا وَمَا تَدَيْنَا. Surely our testimony is truer, okay, than theirs. This is what the family would say then. And we have not transgressed in our testimony. So, la shahadatuna, the short la in the beginning, means exactly the opposite of la, which means not. So, this means definitely, surely, our testimony is truer, ahaku, min shahadatihima, than the testimony of them two. And we have not transgressed. So the family members say that their testimony is truer that of the two wasis, and then they say that they're not being unjust, that they have proof. Inna idhan lamina zalimin. Indeed, we should be wrongdoers if we did so. That if we were lying, we would be wrongdoers. This is what the family says. Now, you may be wondering why they don't just present the list as proof, because they had the list, right? But anyone could have written that list. In the case of this ayah, when this ayah was revealed, in that case, when the family got the jeweler as a witness to testify that they had sold that cup or bowl to him, they brought him to testify. Okay? So to have a witness is better. It's a great loss for someone to lie under oath. Swearing when lying is one of the kabira sins, meaning it's one of the greater sins. So lying when testifying is also one of the greater sins, because so many matters can be settled when people testify truthfully. And so much harm can be done when they lie during their testimony. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these orders of calling people to testify because ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِالشَّهَادَةِ عَلَى وَجْهِهَا. By this procedure, it is more likely that they will bear true witness. There's more of a chance of people speaking the truth, testifying truthfully, than they have to swear. Now, who is this about? This is about the wasis, the two people the dying person had given the last will to. Those two will not lie when they're testifying if they follow this procedure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give. Why? أَوْ يَخَافُوا أَن تُرَدَّ أَيْمَانُهُمْ بَعْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ. Or at least they would fear that their oaths could be contradicted by a subsequent oath. They would be afraid that their oaths will be nullified after the inheritors, after the heirs swear. So they would not lie while testifying. They would know that their false oaths would hold no value before the oath of the family of the deceased, before the heirs, right? Because their testimony would hold greater value, and they would be afraid of being exposed in front of everyone. So they wouldn't risk lying under oath. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering people to tell the truth. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْمَعُوا. And adopt taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And listen. Be conscious of Him. Be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And listen carefully. So nobody claims afterwards that they never heard what was being said. Okay? So we shouldn't be careless when we're involved in something like this. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide those who are disobedient transgressors. He does not guide people who disobey and cross the limits that He has set. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Amin. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.